everybody. Fun episode of the show today. We talk about the Bodagos community in depth at the beginning, and then we actually talk about some of the action on the token side, AVAX and Immutable X pumping in the face of a crypto dump. So wondering if that's going to continue. Talk about some of the other, action in the NFT market. And then we're joined by Ice Bags, the founder of Kanpai Pandas, Overdogs podcast. He's really making moves in the MMA world in a big way. He also leaks on the show that he's making an acquisition tomorrow. So that was pretty cool. We don't know what the acquisition is, but it was cool for him to leak that information on the show. The show is done in partnership with Crypto Moments. That's cryptomoments.com. Very, very cool NFT project that's coming out by one founder who has 35 Bodagos. So really, really cool. The other founder is a Bitcoin OG and a Azuki whale and a member of the Spirit DAO. So love supporting crypto native projects in the space. Check out cryptomoments.com. Anyway, check out the show. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Tuesday, December 12th. You've tuned into the NFT Morning Show. Running the show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Today, we are going to discuss yesterday's crypto dump and overnight recovery. We're going to discuss this week's upcoming mints, and we're going to be joined by the one and only Ice Bags from Kanpai Pandas halfway through the show to discuss what's going on in the Kanpai ecosystem. Got the big karate combat event this week that we're actually partnering up on. You're going to see the Nifty logo over there at the event, which is going to be pretty cool. Like the fighters will be fighting and you'll just see the Nifty logo, which is kind of cool. And I'm sure Kanpai Pandas will be very involved, much more involved considering their roots in the martial arts world. So it's going to be very interesting, to check it out. Before I go any further, Easy, how you doing this morning, amigo?
Life is good. Still have a slightly sick dog here, so going through the fun joys of that, but nah, can't complain. Market feels live. AVAX is up. Life is good. How are you?
Is the little guy doing okay?
Yeah, he's fine. He's getting over the bend, as they say. Mm. He'll be fine.
Well, yeah, last night I cooked up a bunch of sausages and fried potatoes. And Sapphire was so offended when I was just knocking down the sausages. She was just like, dude, like, what the hell is going on? I'm supposed to be able to have those. They smell so good. Very, very good sausages from a local butcher shop here in Brooklyn. It was pretty good stuff. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to shout out a Bodagos community, or just shout out the Bodagos community in general for getting Miss Joe over 100 followers in just a couple of hours. She put out a challenge. She said, I will change my profile picture if I hit 5,000 followers, which is like, 100 new followers. She said by Christmas. So this is a very realistic goal by Miss Joe. Nick, you notice this, how realistic this goal was?
Yeah, that was, although, dude, people got to get a little more creative, I think, with the, with like what the objectives are here at this point. It's like, yo, if this tweet gets 50,000 likes, I'm gonna switch my PFP. I bet you just fucking change your PFP because you like it. Like, I don't know, like, you already know that there's a community there. Like, get active. It's not about some like 50 people following you. It's literally about you just doing a damn thing. You know, like being active in the community that you're doing. So I don't know. It seems like a bunch of nonsense. But I was like, that's like buying an outfit, just went into their store and purchased, like, you bought the pants, put them on. Okay. I don't understand. And get active, come jump in the Discord, say what's up, say you're a new community member, let people check out your Twitter. You're going to get the followers and the likes and all the clout that you ever dreamed of. Okay.
Well, there you go. I also, what I do like that is that Miss Joe selected the Bodagos trait with the eyelashes, which, the market has decided is the kind of female Bodagos trait, which obviously when we put it out, we were like, that's going to be the female Bodagos trait. But it's not like we ever came out and said that. So very, very cool to see that fully recognized by the market. Want to shout out the Bodago.
It's difficult for them to parse that one, P.O., let me tell you, because a lot of people went through and they were like, but where is the female trait? They're like, those eyelashes look totally masculine. So, yeah.
Hey, you never know. Ladies and gentlemen, Bodago of the day. Who is it, Nick? It's Universal. All right? So Universal, a.k.a. at Nick Lau's.
Was she not the Bodago of the day?
No, she got a shout out, but this is the Bodago of the day.
Okay.
What, you just want someone brand new to be the Bodago of the day right off the bat, right after she changed her profile picture? We got an OG right here.
I didn't realize she also gets a shout out. Most people don't get that. You don't get a shout out and then the option of being a Bodago of the day, she's going to have to work a little bit harder in order to earn that reward position. I'm blanking on the word here.
There you go. So Universe Soul, also known as Nick Laus 412. So NICKLAUS 412 on Twitter. This weekend, they were able to get their first alien Bodago. And as you can see, it's a badass alien. He's got the Bodago's banner. Love to see it. Very, very cool stuff. He's incredibly supportive in the community and is constantly retweeting and welcoming new Bodago's community members. You see him retweeting Einstein right there. Of course, he retweeted the Miss Joe. He retweeted Shy, longtime YouTube listener. Really, really cool guy.
Community member, just supportive.
Yep, exactly.
So from good, a distance, you know, sitting on Twitter, giving those retweets.
So good stuff, Universal. You got a badass Bodago. Really good stuff.
And dude, thanks for lifting that thumb, man. And clicking it back down. Thank you for doing that multiple times on behalf of the community. I'm the security, but you just got $20.
Yeah, it's a tiny bit of money, karate token, but Karate Combat is a really cool organization. I mean, you've heard me talk about it on the show before because it's like an actual legit martial arts promotion that has a big fight this weekend, but they have crypto baked in. So you can like do stuff with karate token. Go ahead, Clemente.
I claim my karate and I can use it to bet or pick whoever I think is going to win for the upcoming fight this weekend.
Exactly. It's very, very cool. And it was awesome to be able to share it with Bodagos. We hope to continue to partner with Karate Combat moving forward. You have until Wednesday to claim it. So ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the show, just want to throw one more thing out there. If you're a Bodago and you have questions and you're in the Discord, you should ask me, Nick, or Easy. That would be or Clemente. Those would be the right people to ask questions to. I saw some people DMing me saying that they were asking questions to the mods. At the end of the day, the mods are in Discord, but not like operating the business from a day-to-day perspective. So just wanted to put that out there. You shouldn't be asking the mods, you know, questions about like merch and like day-to-day operational stuff, but rather ask me, Nick, Easy, or Clemente. So just want to throw that out there. I don't want anybody to get disappointed if they're asking questions to the wrong people. Anyway, just a quick shout out before we go to the newsletter. The partner of yesterday's show and today's show, Crypto Moments. Crypto Moments, the art collection documenting the 25 most influential and important moments in crypto and NFT history through artwork by four very, very talented artists. We had Seesaw from Crypto Moments on the show yesterday. His co-founder has 35 Bodagos. So love to see a very high, you know, big time Bodagos whale, running an organization and partnering with the show. The project contains a burn function, some really cool mechanics, and they're doing a very cool auction today that is a bucket auction. So if you listen to yesterday's show, Seesaw really gives a breakdown. It's pretty cool stuff. Seesaw, of course, a Spirit DAO member. So that's going to start today, 1 p.m. Eastern time. It's going to last for 24 hours. Go to cryptomoments.com to check it out. Really fun stuff. Going to be interesting to see what names pop up on that leaderboard. And if anybody, well-known in the space ends up popping up on the leaderboard because of Seesaw's Spirit DAO connections and interest in the project. So why don't we just dive into this weather report? Signal, do we have you here?
Damn straight. It's Tuesday, December the 12th. We got that market volume coming in at 29.6 million. Blur, obviously, highest at 23. OpenSea down at 5.4 with Solana at 6.4. If we look over the market leaders, looking at the top movers on ETH, well, not too much movement really is happening. But on the gaming side, Parallel Avatars holding 1.1 ETH floor, while Pudgy Penguins has pulled back down to 10.7. Over on Solana, Mad Lads continue to pull back. They're down another 5% to 190 SOL. Is this when you enter the collection? But the number keeps going up. Who knows? Tensorians up 10% to 120 SOL. XRD Gods up 200% to 20 SOL. And Cups, they're up 130% to a 3.5. So over the past 24 hours, got the top four stories. Well, number one, despite the lack of action on the NFT side, the clear winner of the day on crypto is Parallel. There are avatars up to 1.1 ETH. It's a new all-time high, along with the Prime token. We've been talking about this for a long time. That's up 15% to $9.3 with a fully diluted market cap of over $1 billion. onto the art side of the market. You might have missed it if you were sleeping, but XCopy introduced a surprise burn function for his Max Payne collection. We all remember that minted out on Nifty Gateway last year. That burn yesterday allowed 500 holders to burn a Max Payne NFT plus 0.1 ETH in exchange for a new Damage Control piece. Damage Control is holding a 0.9 ETH floor while Max Payne pumped 2x before retracing to 0.5 ETH as people expect more burn functions to come in the future. Over on the art side again, but this time it's Jack Butcher, his Oviators, that allows holders to claim a physical pair of sunglasses and a new generative art piece in next year, has ended up selling 1,717 NFTs for 0.11 ETH each once the mint window closed, and Jack Butcher shares some rough drafts of his generative collection. Those Oviators saw a pump to 0.2 ETH and now holding a 0.18 ETH floor. So that's been a 60% gain for those who minted. And then lastly, over on crypto, the bleed stopped yesterday afternoon as Bitcoin, Solana, and Ethereum slightly recovered their losses. AVAX, however, has continued to rip to 2023 new highs. It reached $42 as the Avalanche community is calling for the price to flip Solana. That is all for the weather report. It is back to you in the studio.
I love it. I love it. Just flip whatever has a slightly higher number than you in crypto. I absolutely love it. Probably, maybe not wrong. I don't know. Yeah, probably wrong. But anyway, really fun stuff.
Those glasses from Jack Butcher also have a generative art project with it. I also wonder the simplicity of his art, if he's like secretly laughing at the audience that's spending all of this money, basically. Like, I wonder if like deep down he's just like, I mean, he has made this iconic shape now. But I do wonder sometimes, like, look, he's done a great job. He's phenomenal at visualization stuff, and he has been for a long time. Anyone in retail is saying, yo, you just sold $500,000 of glasses? Like, that's pretty odd. Like, if you've watched Shark Tank, if someone comes in and they're like, well, we did $500,000 in sales last year, the sharks are like, what? You did once you're over $1 million in sales, like, if you're at a couple million dollars, they're like, oh, you're legit.
They congratulate them. Literally, like Mark Cuban, and they'll like give him a little congrat. Like, they respect it when you're doing revenue. This guy's going to drop. He'll be up to like 100 million in revenue after like another 18 months or something. Easy.
If he hasn't already.
$100 million, you think?
Like in terms of lifetime crypto revenue. Easy. Do you disagree?
Correct. Primary revenue.
From drops?
How much is Fawocious at? I don't think he's at that much.
No, but I think Jack's going to outpace.
$100 million. How much has Damien Hirst done in lifetime revenue?
The Damien Hirst is like a totally different conversation because he's doing like traditional art stuff. But I mean, if you add up all the revenue from last bull run, Jack Butcher, and then all the revenue from this one, I'm saying it'll clear 100 in the next 24 months.
Do we know how much he's done so far?
I think a lot, dude. I think over 10.
Okay, well, you're just throwing out random numbers, basically.
He sold a lot of stuff.
The Opeppins were free, and the checks were, what, $7 each? So those two haven't made too much. There were royalties attached to them, but...
There were royalties. There's some volume on that stuff.
Okay, but we're just throwing out random numbers. $100 million is him competing with literally Bored Ape Yacht Club...
Bored Ape Yacht Club made $100 million just on mutants.
Okay.
The royalty on checks, for example, by the way, is 0.5%. So it's not a ton. So 0.5% on 57,000 ETH.
Why not throw out an estimate of $10 billion, PO? Like, just just make up fucking numbers at this point in time.
24 months from now.
Easy. I do think he reduced royalties on that, though. I believe it was like initially during that rise, it was still enforced, and then he like took it down.
But, so it's like, so even more headwinds against Jack Butcher.
No, yeah, it's got to be at least 190 million.
So he's made at least $100,000 like at this point in time. He's making like a decent living.
I do not see this as being something that people are like, that's not possible. Like, watching 24 months, they're going to be like, wow, he really cleaned up. What, he did a couple Sotheby's drops for like 15 million a pop. Holy, like, he's almost at 100. Oh my God. Pretty funny stuff. Anyway, look, ladies and gentlemen,
he made 50 million, basically. So there you go.
So there you go. You got another artist that's already at half of the number that I said. And I'm saying that I'm betting that the other one will outperform. Anyway, I didn't expect that to be something that really struck a chord. One of the most successful artists in the entire space doing something that a ton of other people in the space have already done. Pact did nearly a quarter billion.
Well, yeah, he's ridiculous. That's the biggest scam artist of literally all time in the NFT space. Just a master. And all of the people walking around calling that guy brilliant, he was brilliant for taking your money and making you look like a dumb idiot. Like, that was basically making you regret your life decisions. I think that that's basically what was going on there. But I don't think Jack Butcher is a scam artist. So
no, but I'm just it's just another artist. So funny thing is, Pac has one drop, this collab drop with Trevor Jones. Maybe Clemente can quickly pull it up. It's Pac and Trevor Jones. And that's the only drop where I'm like, well, damn, like Pac's actually like really good. Like there is talent there because, I mean, you know, he sold a blank, you know, a white square. Remember, he sold a white square, but look at this
and
one.
The circle.
And the circle. This one, and I think it's going to move if you let it go. I could be, there's some that move, I'm pretty sure. It's 20 seconds. Let it keep going. All right, it's going to like switch or something, or maybe it's a different. There's so many pieces in these early Nifty Gateway collections, and it's hard to find the individual one. But basically, Pac took the, someone said Pack is the reason I had to get a job again. That's kind of funny. Anyway, Pack took, you know, the Trevor Jones artwork and like layered it into one of the cubes. And this is like the one where I'm like, okay, like there's definitely like talent there. Whereas the other ones, he was literally selling like a white square. He sold a pixel. He sold like just a cube. This is the only one. But now that I'm looking at it, I'm just like, well, why do I remember it moving and stuff like that? It's really just like the pictures put on a cube with squares. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, our daily digest, you can subscribe at thenifty.com. That's where we deliver the karate token to Bodagos and the Nifty ecosystem members yesterday. Anyway, you can subscribe at thenifty.com. It's also posted to X. First story, FIFA announces a new NFT drop featuring a chance to win 2026 World Cup tickets and will also be moving their existing collection from Algorand to Polygon. So Polygon getting some FIFA action right there. Next story, exiled D-Gods pumped to over 40 Solana before pulling back, following acknowledgement from Frank and the D-Gods team on their historical value. Easy, what do we think about exiled D-Gods?
So they messed up the contract back in September of 2021, and these 2,000 were originally minted. They had to launch a new contract and airdrop them one by one to the wallets. These were the exiled D-Gods. They've never actually been traded previously, and now they are. They have a 25% royalty on them. So pretty hefty royalty. That royalty originally was sent to Frank. He got about $50,000 into the D-God's treasury before then saying he wants to fix the divide between Bonk, which was the meme coin on Solana, and D-God's because Bonk burned $500 billion in allocation of Bonk, which was like $6.5 million. So in turn, now they've adjusted the contract. So every single royalty is used to buy Bonk, lock it in the LP, and burn the LP. So just basically providing constant liquidity on all transactions. It's the only D-Gods that are still on Sol. So there's this narrative going around. There were 9 Sol yesterday before the announcement, now back up to 25. When they first started trading, they hit a high of 30. And then Frank went on this kind of long rant where he outlined the history of Solana in one of his posts. Yeah, this one. Basically the whole history of Sol told through the eyes of Frank.
Interesting. Okay, well, we'll see what happens with D-Gods and exiled D-Gods and, you know, the other assets in the ecosystem. Clemente?
These things flipped utes, didn't they, Easy? They got up to...
Yeah, they officially flipped utes.
Yeah, in the Discord, we were like, holy shit, these got to 45 Sol. Are you kidding? You didn't get any of these, did you?
No, I stayed away. The 25% royalty, I'm not touching with a 1,000-foot pole, dude.
This is like historical NFTs once again.
We're crypto skulls are back.
It's like rare sats. Next story, Bankman, a highly anticipated mint.
The biggest joke in NFTs and crypto, dude.
Trevor
that
got like
Bitcoin community is just filled. Can you imagine all the scammers pumping the bullshit rare stats. I mean, those things, there could nothing be there cannot be a bigger joke than rare stats. These people are flipping pennies to you for like your grandma telling you that she's been holding on to that penny since it from her parent. So your great grandparents passed the penny down, except rare stats are like 15 years old and they have no basically very little provenance whatsoever. Those things just straight going to zero.
Like, you just don't get it. That's the issue. You just don't understand rare sats. I currently own 670 rare sats. All of them are ones that SBF were trading for cash to Japan during his sushi roll trade. So they haven't acknowledged those yet. They haven't acknowledged those on chain. So I'm the first. I'm an innovator.
Well, 100%, this is going to make its way back to my co-host of the Bitcoin Show, Trevor Owens. He proactively brought this up in front of a live audience on stage at the Ordinals event at Art Basel. Just proactively brought up that Nick doesn't understand rare sats. Like, nobody brought up Nick. Nobody asked about Nick. And Trevor just brought up Nick, which is pretty damn funny in front of an audience.
That they're the people. So Bitcoiners were already members of a cult. And then there was this subcult that was generated called rare sat fans and collectors. And these people, they're some of the biggest crackheads you've ever seen, basically. Like, in terms of collectors, none of them collect like physical things. Like, that's just like something that's boom, makes no sense, basically. But they're definitely collecting these rare sats and they're all about it, you know? And they will tweet all day about how rare sats make a ton of sense and then take the picture of my Bodago and disrespect it by throwing it into a wood chopper, which
that was pretty funny.
That one was a good video. So I actually enjoy it. I'm frankly hoping that they do it again. And part of my incentive here is to just
create another one of those videos.
Yeah, basically, like, is like, do something more violent to my Bodago, you know?
Just for the record, I do believe in rare sats having a place in crypto as assets. But when I see these like two Bitcoin sales, like someone paid two Bitcoins for like one rare Satoshi, I'm just kind of like, I don't know if that one's going to age that well in me. That's a tough one. You're exchanging like a lot of money for not a lot of money in that situation. So I don't know. Anyway, next story. Five senators have co-sponsored Elizabeth Warren's anti-crypto digital asset anti-money laundering act. So Elizabeth Warren is not stopping. I mean, good God, she just sends it. Man, she has been in office for such a long time. I feel like my whole childhood, I grew up in Massachusetts, my whole childhood, she was around. I don't know what it is, but someone pointed out she makes $200,000 a year and she's worth like $400 million or something like that. So there you go.
$400 million. Here's another thrown out number. You tell me, Elizabeth
Warren net worth. Search it. How much?
$12 million.
That's wrong.
You're coming up with
search it on Twitter.
Millionaire.
No, I saw 280 million, I believe.
280 million.
I saw 410 yesterday at one point. The number kept getting bigger, dude.
All the politicians are worth hundreds of millions of dollars. There's one guy that's like degen trading Microsoft right now with call options.
I see another one here that says,
what's this one? Salary 285K, monthly income 400K. The person that posted this is out to lunch, so I can't really. And she said $67 million net worth. Terrible. I can't really do that.
That girl was the one that attacked us on Mario Space and was an anal specialist. That was her until she literally
on OnlyFans, ladies and gentlemen, on OnlyFans.
And then suddenly switched her profile to being an expert political commentator. Like, get the hell out of here. And after she attacked us and said we were just lying, and I sent her literally a video, I was like, are you going to actually recant your statement? She just ignored me and proceeded on with her life. That woman is a bigger scammer than the rare sat.
Bigger than Pac?
Everything Nick said about
that. That's hard to outdo that.
Everything that Nick just said is true, ladies and gentlemen. I feel like, you know, people don't know whether Nick's like, you know, making something up to be funny or not, but like everything that Nick just said is 1,000% true. OnlyFans turned political commentator. Anyway, with the details that Nick shared being the actual details that were in her profile. Anyway, Bodogos were featured in Shrapnel's latest gameplay teaser. Love to see it. Absolutely love to see it. Shout out to our pals at Shrapnel, our key gaming partner right now. They got the Bodogos gun. Looks like they've been tasting the food over there at the Shrapnel headquarters in Seattle. Really cool to see a Bodogos gun just laying waste in the Shrapnel ecosystem. Very, very cool stuff. I'm sure that there will be more cool things that we do with them in the future. Nick?
Dude, Bodogos are all about just slaughtering people, dude. That's like what we're about, you know? So like throw that logo on a gun. Bam, and blow your favorite friend's brains out.
Nice. I see Nick's very used to video games and it doesn't think first-person shooters are fucked up. Anyway, first story. So we're going to have Ice Bags joining us very, very soon. Some quick hitters before he joins the show. So
really, you haven't played them because isn't the goal to blow your friend's brains all over the floor and mop them?
You sound like Robert De Niro in a Martin Scorsese movie from the 70s or 80s, just doing a mob part. That's not how modern video game players talk. They're just like, oh, yeah, got a headshot. Good game, man. Good stuff.
Oh, no, they say way worse than that.
Sat in the lobby of a fucking Xbox game or something like that?
Yeah, it's not, hey, man, good shot. It's usually, I'm not going to say it.
I'm sure that there's a lot of.
We literally could not say on this show. Because we would be just abruptly canceled for the conversations that go on during those games, Pia.
Clemente, he's pinging us. You got it. All right, cool. So some quick hitters. We got the crypto market recovering after the little dump. I saw our buddy, our co-founder Kix, have a little joke tweet that was like, "I survived the bear market of like, you know, December 10th and 11th." You know, like the 2 days where the market went down in this stretch of just cooks. Meanwhile, we saw Immutable X, which we had discussed on the show the other day, and AVAX, which we've been discussing on the show, basically reprice. They're just going up still. What do you make of the action in the market from a token trading perspective? Let's start with Nick, then we'll go to Easy.
Look, I've been saying for a long time, and Easy just copy traded me here. Q3 2023. We're going to start seeing the market turn around. I'm looking at Solana. I'm looking at Avalanche. You know, those are the two main tokens that I'm looking at. We're just going to see things turn around. And I've just been DCAing this entire time. I'll be DCAing up to $100 with Solana.
In all seriousness, during the bear market, what turned you off to the idea of DCA?
Turned me off?
Well, I mean, like you like to take the big swings, you know what I mean? The big, you know, like send it. But I'm wondering, like, next bear market, do you see yourself DCAing?
I don't think that anything turned me off from DCAing. I think the biggest thing was when I first got an expensive rent, I needed cash. And so I took a lot of money and I felt more comfortable having cash in the bank. So that had nothing to do with crypto. And then I started putting money into bonds, just because I was like, well, they're getting like 6% yield right now. And, Kicks out here just talking smack, saying that, DCAing's for people with low testosterone. And I kind of agree. I just sniped those bottoms with big bags. Pia was talking about when I remember you still owe me a ton of money because I called the literal bottom of, was it Solana?
You called the $8.60 bottom, Nick?
No. He called it at like 17 bucks.
Okay, it was lower than that. And
no, it wasn't. It was literally 17 bucks.
It was okay. We checked the tape, Clemente. And basically it was definitely lower. And Clemente, you don't even need to check it because you already know that Pio's just making up numbers. We've already seen it throughout this entire show. Oh, she's worth $500 million all of a sudden.
Okay? Like literally is though.
No, she's not. I'm just saying if she was worth $500 million, that would be like a pretty monumental situation. I just think that that's like a ridiculous quotable. If someone's got some data on this, then I'm more than happy to take a look. But anyways.
Well, I just found this tweet, Nick. It's from MeatRocket420, and it says, Elizabeth Warren is worth $420 million, and you're still broke.
Okay.
Forbes reported
that she's a trusted source.
Forbes reported that she's raked in $4.6 million in compensation, for selling books, I guess. But I mean, that, you know, that's kind of like actually above board revenue there. You're allowed to sell a book. You're allowed to sell a book.
Okay, now, you know, multiply that by less than over 100 years, and you end up with the amount of money that you're claiming that she has here. I would be, her having $50 million, okay. But $500 million is a lot of money.
It's sure over 100. They all the senators have over 100, like, actually.
Okay, because, another wild claim coming out of left field here. Every senator has over $100 million?
As soon as you get to that level,
he's nodding his head.
It's just insider trading central. It really is, dude. It really is.
Like, five more years till I run, boys. Five more years.
Yeah, exactly. Easy. This is the arc for Easy leads to government office because yeah, exactly. Because then Easy, that's like the ultimate level of trading. Easy's doing it the hard way now.
Here's according to, and obviously Wikipedia is not 100% accurate here, but 11 out of the 49 senators have over $100 million net worth in here, according to this.
There's 100 senators, Nick.
Well, why do they only have 49 on here?
I don't know.
Because it's all wrong.
Maybe. What the hell? Oh, maybe this is Congress? What the fuck? Okay, well, this is obviously a bad Wikipedia page, okay?
That's what I'm saying. Signal's got her hand up.
Yeah, no, normally I am not on the same page as PO. He's so out to lunch. He's not even having lunch on most things. He's mostly out to dinner. But I have to agree with him. Number one, Nick, he was right. It was $19 on Solana when you wanted to do that snipe. I think he wanted to put in 5,000. Solana was at $19. Number two, on the my mind's gone completely blank.
Out to lunch, yes, Sig.
Sorry. PO, you're 100 million for Jack Butcher, right? I don't think PO's out to lunch to this, and I'll tell you why. It's because if you look at the people who are the most, like, the highest grossing living artists, you look at people like Damien Hirst, Jeff Koons, these guys are worth like 1 billion, 500 million. It's taken them probably, I don't know, 50, maybe 60 years. I don't know how old these guys
are. Not Damien Hirst, but Jeff Koons. Yeah. Jeff Koons for sure.
So these guys have taken probably 3 decades to get to those numbers. All like what this, like NFTs, all this fine art is allowing these artists to do is to get to those numbers way faster. Like to become a millionaire used to take, I don't know, probably 20, 30 years. Now you can become a millionaire much, much faster. So the new touching point is to become the billionaire. And I really do think PO is not out to lunch on this number of 100 million. It will take somebody like Jack Butcher, like just put it in context, right? XCorpy said you have, let's say, a 1 hour window to go and mint and burn Max Payne for 0.1 ETH, right? That, like, people flew and did that, right? If you were a mid-tier artist with the same reputation but not online, you would never be able to sell out and gross those kind of numbers because they don't have that digital presence. So I think people like Jack Butcher, who are not household names, will be able to get to 100 million way faster than somebody like Jeff Koons or Damien Hirst did in their career.
I didn't say that it'll never reach $100 million. PO was
the 24-month timeline is just out of the question. I just looked it up. How much do you think?
24 months.
I said 24 months. How much do you think XCopy made on Max Payne, Nick?
A lot.
Okay, how much is a lot?
I don't know, 25 million.
21 million on just the primary sale. Forget about any royalties, anything like that.
Yeah, so
that
welcome gets you to the fact check hour. Let me just give you one other fact check. Someone give me some data that shows me that every senator is worth $100 million. I will pay $1,000 I will bet $1,000, PO. Are you willing to bet $1,000 on this fact that you just
you're making me do a bet that every single senator. So in other words, if one guy's worth $85 million, I lose the bet.
I will bet you that the average is closer to $15 million than it is to $100 million. That's how far I'm willing to bet this thing. The average net worth across all those centers, you're not going to have 2023 data, so good luck finding that particular thing.
I'll take it as a W, just the fact that you're bringing up that the average is 15M when they make like 200 grand a year, I'll take
that. Wait. You said Senate, right?
Yes.
Okay. What's crazy to me here is that data only goes back to 2012. So that's great. That's
the latest thing I've been able to find. And what's the average net
14.
Worth? 14.
What? 14.
The average net worth is 14 million. They make 200 grand a year.
Okay, but that's an order of magnitude off from the statement that you said. You're just like out here just proclaiming.
Well, you know what pisses me off, Nick? You know what pisses me off? The liberal media over here. Because the Democrats.
Yeah, this probably is the woke left.
The Democrats set an average of 13 million and the Republican is 7. So there's a huge discrepancy.
So we got Ice Bags from Camp High Pandas. Really excited to bring him on. Real quick, Bags, he's backstage in the green room on the YouTube.
He's worth $40 billion, this dude, Ice Bags, dude. Fucking $40 billion is the stats that I'm hearing.
We just got
literally about to buy the MMA.
He's going to buy the MMA. I love to hear it, Ice Bags. You're going to buy the MMA, buy the mixed martial arts sport, not the UFC. But anyway, could you join the Twitter stage?
To own anyone that walks into a gym and even practices it. That's how wealthy this guy is.
Just going to have Ice Bags join the Twitter stage and then bring him on in just a moment. Just have him join the stage and mute. Definitely check out the karate. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, real quick, shout out to our partners for today's show, Crypto Moments, our collection documenting the 25 most influential and important moments in crypto and NFTs history through art by four very talented artists, one of which is Pixel Lord, who's a longtime supporter of this show, been on the show listened to the show for quite a while. Very cool mechanics in the show, cool auction style, a bucket auction, some burn mechanics. Seesaw, one of the co-founders, of course, is a member of Spirit DAO. His co-founder actually has 35 Bodagos, so we love to see a Bodago whale making moves in the NFT and crypto industry.
Or something? Isn't that what we call it?
Over 25, yeah, exactly. And so go to CryptoMoments.com, check out the pinned tweet, check it out. It's happening today, 1 p.m. We got Ice Bags, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Camp High Pandas himself. How's it going, amigo?
Good, brother. And you did nail that. It's right around 42 billion.
There we go.
I don't own MMA. I actually own all combat sports.
Okay.
Pretty good. He's got judo, he's got sambo, all that stuff. Does it feel weird to be on a different podcast than the Overdogs podcast, the literal smash hit podcast in the MMA community?
Yeah, man, I love it. I love doing this show. You guys have probably my favorite show when it comes to crypto, you know, Web3. I love it.
I appreciate it, man. Your boy, your co-host, Mike Perry, caught a W in bare knuckle boxing last weekend. And obviously, we're going to talk crypto stuff with you. It's not going to be only MMA because this is a crypto show. But congrats to Mike. What's it like doing a podcast with that guy? That must be a lot of fun.
He's an animal, man. So I was in Salt Lake. I don't know if you guys realize, but I was the one rubbing the ice on his back in between rounds.
You're in his corner.
He said I'm the best ice man in the fucking game.
Well, it fits the name.
We should give context that one time Mike Perry decided that his whole corner, which would normally traditionally be three people, it'd be like, you know, your boxing coach, your striking coach, your jiu-jitsu coach, whatever, your head coach. It'd be some combination of literal specialists and martial arts experts. Mike Perry famously in an actual UFC fight said, nah, my girlfriend's going to be the only person in my corner. She's not a martial artist. She's just literally my girlfriend. She looks so stressed out. He's like, yeah, put the ice on my back. Like that's one of the wildest things anyone's ever done. Mike Perry is a wild man. Very, very cool to see him catch a W. What's going on with Camp High Pandas, man? You are making moves. You have a literally successful MMA podcast. You had Ariel Helwani, one of the top MMA reporters on the show, longtime OG reporter. You've had the biggest names in the sport. You did a 90-minute interview with Jon Jones. No one gets that interview, and he's the greatest of all time, and you obviously sponsor him. That's got 150K views right there, the Jon Jones interview, and I saw a ton of viral clips from it. What's going on with Camp High Pandas, man? You guys are building a real empire, it seems, in the martial arts world.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you look at obviously the Overdogs podcast has exploded. We've had, you know, Sean Strickland, the middleweight champ. We've had John Jones, the greatest of all time. We've had DJ, debatably the greatest or second of all time. Yeah. Mighty Mouse. We've had our last three fucking shows have been Ilya Topuria, who's fighting Volkanovski for the title.
We talked about him last time, and last time you were on the show, you brought him up. This is before he had, you know, two fights ago, and I said he could be champion, and you said he could be champion this year. That was earlier this year, and in my head, I was like, yo, Ice Bags, that's like a little bit of an aggressive timeline. He's fighting for the belt in January. You were so close.
Yeah, so we had Ilya Topuria, then we just had Devin Haney, who just won probably one of the biggest boxing matches in the last few years. I mean, he dominated. So Mike and I were actually sitting front row at that as well in San Francisco. Phenomenal experience. Just watching.
You're just living the life.
It's incredible right now, you know, and getting to know these guys. And then of course, the next one that we did was Ariel Helwani. Ariel does no other podcast outside of his own, right? I mean, he's got the biggest show on the planet when it comes to MMA. So, you know, we got to chop it up with him. It's like me and Mike were sitting there talking about it at the fight. And it's like, who the hell do we even bring on next? You know, I'd love to get like Chael on. I think that would be a great one. We're at this point now. It's like, who do you even bring on next? Because we've hit like every tier at this point. So it's been fun, man. It's been a good ride.
I recommend some of the senators because you can investigate their net worth.
Do you have a booking agent for that show, Bax?
I handle it all myself.
Wow. Okay. Very cool. And you know, on one episode with, I think, Sean Strickland, he asked, because he like probably just, I mean, that guy's wild. He didn't know where he was, but I don't know what he was doing. Anyway, no disrespect, Sean Strickland. Don't kick my ass. Anyway, you said when he asked you what you do, you said, I have a streetwear company, is how you described Kanpai Pandas. Can you talk a little bit about that, like saying that it's a streetwear company?
Yeah, I mean, look, I would say in general, it's probably more of a media company at this point. You know, we did start off hard with the clothing. That's kind of what broke us into the MMA space. But it's obviously evolved from there, right? And the thing is like media company is a much bigger opportunity, much bigger exposure, you know, across the board. But the clothing has definitely helped lead us into that because everybody in MMA now recognizes the logo, right? Because we're on everybody. I mean, we're on, you know, 25 of the top fighters. We've been in the Bellator cage twice on Sergio's shorts. We were on Devin's shorts in that fight against Regis. We were on, you know, Liz Carmouche's shorts in the cage. We were on Mike Perry's shorts in the cage. I mean, you know, it's definitely kind of been like the lead in.
I'm curious about that, actually, because I was discussing this with Pio yesterday about metrics that matter for a business and how important that is. If you look at Pudgy Penguins, for example, their Giphy performance is like a metric that matters when it comes to especially their communication. Is that how, like, have you just been like solo focused on being like, we need logo exposure on like different players? Is that what you're thinking about? And what are the metrics that actually do you view that matter for your business?
Yeah, for example, you know, especially with the show, right? YouTube, because what we do is we use these shows, the full length, and then we chop them down to the shorts. Like if you were on the YouTube page and you went to the shorts, we've got a million views on some stuff. I mean, I think like the top 10 is over like 300,000, you know, views each. And then what we do is we chop those into TikTok, Instagram, everything as well. So, you know, we're definitely watching those views metrics. You know, if you look at it, like when I launched the media company, I hired a guy named David Nam. He was an executive at Red Bull Music, right? So I was like, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it the right fucking way. And we have, and we've had a lot of success just because of that. That's definitely a metric we look at. The first thing was like brand recognition with the logo, right? And then we say, okay, well, now you understand, you recognize the logo, and then we have to tie that to the company would be the next step, right? And then the next step is, how do you introduce and how does it benefit, you know, your holders, right? It's kind of it's essentially the same approach that Pudgy Penguins has, just in a very different arena, right? More adult, you know, sport related arena. So we launched KanpaiMedia.com, I don't know, maybe a month ago, 6 weeks ago. And part of that is, you know, we've got all of our audio, video, but then we've also got a Web3 section where we make our updates. So that way you can stay updated, you know, as to what's going on with the community, and you can learn about like what the project is itself.
Wow. I mean, Nick, do you have a follow-up question on that? This is up your alley. yeah, doing a real scalable media job. Real quick, Clemente, if you could pull up our short. So I see you have a million view short. It looks like it was Darren Till. That's a lot of fun. Funny enough, we know something about making MMA shorts that go viral. Clemente, if you could pull up our YouTube channel. During the bear market, we accidentally struck a chord. MMA content can go super viral. And we've got one short with 6 million views where I'm talking about wow. Conor McGregor. Just check this out real quick. So we got 6.3 on one Conor McGregor, 5.1 on another Conor McGregor. And I think that there's at least one more. The MMA, is definitely a well that you can turn to. So what's the game plan to connect all this to the NFTs? Because when Luca was kind of experiencing the initial rise of Pudgy Penguins, call it from like a price appreciation standpoint, from 3 to 7 ETH, the kind of typical NFT commentary from the hardcore crypto enthusiasts and NFT holders was like, well, what does, you know, the Giphy views or what does do the toys do for the NFTs, right? And so you are obviously getting real traction in media on the MMA side. But regardless, I mean, I watched the subscriber growth on that channel. I think you guys are pushing 50K subs on that YouTube channel in not a long time at all. Just pointed out a viral short and some key videos that have hundreds of thousands of views. What's the sort of game plan to integrate the NFTs? Or is it just build a really successful business that has crypto products, that has NFTs in it, but don't try to rush, you know, the NFT kind of side of it? Like, how are you thinking about it?
Yeah, my whole thing has been not to rush the NFT side. And I understand like holders get, you know, antsy, you know, when it comes to that side. But I'm like, hang on, just give me a fucking minute here. Because I can't be like John Jones, talk about Kanpai Panda NFTs, right? Because he's gonna get flamed.
Yeah.
And then he's not gonna want to partner with us. So, you know, it's definitely something that you've gotta kind of scale over time. And that was part of launching KanpaiMedia.com. Was so that we can have this one spot for people to go to that also introduces them to the Web3 side, right? Because now it's like, okay, now you have all these people that enjoy combat sports or other sports or sports betting or whatever we've got on there, but then they can also learn about the Web3 benefits, which is, you know, suite tickets to UFC events and karate combat and all this other stuff that they're actually in tune with, right? Where our market is not, you know, and we're using Pudgies just because they're you know, recent success has been amazing and what Luke is building there. But like ours is not into plushies and toys, right? Ours is a much more adult audience that's more interested in what we're delivering, right? And so that's the way that we're approaching it right now. And then we've got a couple of other things. We've got a big announcement tomorrow, probably our biggest announcement ever, dropping tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern. I can't go too much into that, but if you tie it back, there's been some hints on my Twitter account.
What are those hints?
Go to the Twitter account and look. I'll just say that my account and another account have both been kind of posting the same thing, you know, for tomorrow.
Well, that's very juicy, very interesting. And you have the ETH collection, you have the Solana collection. And I think, and this was something you took over this collection. I think you described it like initially for fun and like for laughs. You were like drunk and you ended up buying it or something like that. It took 6 months to mint out during a bull market. You grinded it out and have obviously had significant success when it comes to price appreciation. It sounds like you don't have the burden of having like 50,000 tokens and things like that to have to deal with, but you do have the ETH collection and the Solana collection. How do you think? I'm sure you're happy about having some Solana exposure now, given the attention that's on the Solana the Solana NFT ecosystem. But how do you think about the two collections?
Yeah, so the thing is like, you know, once the layer zero bridge is done, which will be, you know, some point next year, they can move all, you know, between. So if my holders want to go to all of them want to go to Solana, they can. Or if they want to leave Solana and go to ETH, wherever the liquidity is. I mean, that's the cool thing about, you know, truly being omni-chain versus being, you know, multi-chain and just moving from, you know, moving the collection from one chain to the others, they have the freedom to do whatever the hell they want. And, you know, we say this, like some of the people have been like, oh, well, you know, they're grifting on Solana. We're not grifting on Solana. We came to Solana when Solana was fucking $18 and nobody wanted to touch Solana with a 10-foot pole. We took that calculated risk and they told me, you're not going to mint out at this price, because we had this issue of like, we had a decent floor price on ETH, right? And I couldn't like just mint it really cheap on Solana because it wasn't fair to the other holders. And there's a massive issue there. So we actually minted it. I forget forget what the number was, but it was like by far the highest mint ever on Solana.
65 Solana was what it was. Yeah, on the low side of the Dutch auction. Yeah, which is crazy.
Insanity.
Everyone thought it was wild. Insanity.
Everybody told me it's not going to fucking happen. It's not going to happen. I was like, watch. And that was at the bottom, dude.
Wild. I mean, we also minted Bodagos literally on the day that Robinhood delisted Solana.
It was less than 1/10 of that price.
it was a tough time. I love seeing people make those bets.
I have a question for you on this, though. Yeah. So the Solana collection without Layer 0, do you still get all the same benefits as the ETH one? You do. Absolutely. Okay. As someone who holds one, because obviously there's some price discrepancies since you can't bridge them back and forth. That was something I've always been curious to just get confirmation on, was like, I've always said that they should basically trade the same because you get all the same perks. Right. But for some reason, the Solana one does lag due to what I think is the lack of Layer 0 support at this moment with the inability to bridge to Sol.
Yeah. So what's interesting is there've always, since inception, there's always been these arbitrage opportunities back and forth, because we minted on 8 different chains, right? And we minted on fucking shit that nobody was using, like Phantom, Optimism, BSC, like nobody was even using this stuff at the time. So there was always like these ARB opportunities. So over that 7-month mint out period, which drug on forever, there was a lot of people that made money on the ARBs, right? Every time something, it would go up on ETH, they'd buy one and they'd mint one on Phantom for $400. They'd move it over and sell it higher on ETH. So it's interesting. It's going to be really interesting to see. But here's the thing with Solana and ETH, because most of them now have migrated to ETH. Most of the collection has. So what happens is if Solana, like first Solana spiked and then ETH caught up and then ETH spiked and then Solana kind of caught up. So they are somewhat mirroring each other, but I also do think it caps it a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, because there's
two kind of going back and forth. Right. And that won't be the case once the bridge is opened up and people can move freely.
In terms of, well, I'm curious on the NFT side, cause this is something we discuss internally all the time. What is the offering beyond just the collectible thing? NFTs are such a weird sequence in terms of how you execute on the business, because it's not like in the traditional IP space, for example, you'd have a movie out there first and then it becomes a cult classic or it becomes literally a hit movie or something like that. And now you're selling the merchandise, you're merchandising it afterwards. In the NFT space, we merchandise before we've created literally anything, which is like the craziest direction. How are you thinking about that in terms of like because everyone says like, what's the utility? What's the value associated like that? But if you went and bought a Star Wars figurine, you're not saying what's the utility of that thing. You're like, I love Star Wars, so I bought that figurine. That was the bottom line. But now instead, we sell the figurine and the digital figurine, and then we say, and then people come back and they say, well, what's the utility? You could probably create an entire movie, and they'd be like, yeah, but what did I get out of it?
That's always going to be the case, right? But I did tweet this out at about 11 o'clock last night, and I said the new meta in NFTs is building the business first and launching the NFT next, right? That wasn't the meta last run. I think that's truly the meta this run. Specifically, and I mentioned like Tensorians and Mad Lads, right? Because you've got two powerhouses over there on Solana that are rolling right now, you know, from an NFT appreciation perspective, but they had a product. And I think that's going to be truly the meta. This run is not so much smoke and mirrors. Believe me, there still will be, because people want to fucking gamble. There still will be. Yeah. But I think there's going to be a stronger meta. And I think the people that lead this run are the builders. If you look at Pudgies and you look at Tensorians, you look at Mad Lads and you look at Pandas, like these people are building real legitimate products. Some of us are reaching out into the Web 2 space more than others, but some of them have, you know, incredible Web 3 products that they've built.
I couldn't agree more. I don't know if the business comes for, well, yeah. I mean, in our case, like we had a content business, but with a few months, basically, like it wasn't like we were around for a long time when we dropped our first NFT. I think one of the things that we've seen on the Solana side, we have these conversations internally, but I also just see it from the community and conversation, is saying, look, if you go over to Solana, there's not really a whole ton of projects that you can point to where any of them have any legitimate business whatsoever. we look at yourself, like Kanpai Pandas. We talk about, like you mentioned, with Tensorians, Mad Lads, Bodagos, essentially, because we've been building this media business. But like, there's not really a lot more. Now, there's other
Repose the Coffee. Repose the Coffee, selling the coffee. Love to see it.
And I mean, you could argue like the Heist and Famous Fox have, like, they at least have a product or something else that's going on there. And even if you include that degree of actual business or product that's in the market, you're still limited to like 10 businesses basically that are on Solana. Whereas if you go over to Ethereum, there's a lot more people trying to do things, I think. Maybe. I don't know.
Are there?
I really don't think there are. I really don't think there are. I think there's very few NFT projects. I think there's maybe 10 in total that are actually building something that has an opportunity to last. I'll say there's other people that are building stuff, but most of these guys are young. They don't know what they're doing. They're going to fail. Just like most startups, not just NFTs, most startups, you know, fail anyway. But I think there's probably 10 that'll last, you know, that are out there right now that'll actually build something and last past mint funds and royalty funds.
I mean, as we're scrolling through, I feel like you're right.
I mean, look. Yeah.
Because I'm thinking you got
all shit.
Gaming companies are like a popular thing that's going on.
Here's one thing I love to see. I hate to cut you off, but here's one thing I love to see now is actually these projects catching love from a price appreciation standpoint. Because when we were getting no love at all, and we were building all this shit, right? And we were getting all this exposure, and it was like, well, they don't want real product and real development and real execution. They want hype. Right. And if you look at like what the D-God cycle of where they spiked, right? Like they want the hype and they want what's coming next, right? But now that mentality seems to be changing a little bit in the market, and people are like, I'd rather bet on a horse that's gonna deliver, right? And those are starting to pop more so than others.
I couldn't agree more.
We're growing up.
Yeah, I mean theoretically the same thing exists when you look at the top of like the blockchain, the blockchains that have valuable tokens. Solana, from that standpoint, it's slightly different in the sense that what you're looking at is adoption on change, or on chain. Why did I say on change? But you're looking for like actual people to be building things, and so actual usage, aka like the team is seeing traction in market. Obviously, Bitcoin's an exception to that in the sense that it's just what it is. But I think all of the others, including Ethereum, Ethereum's popular because a lot of these things have been developed on Ethereum. I think Solana is going to continue to be popular because a lot of things are built on Solana. And the same thing goes down, downwards. That's the infrastructure side. But it's like, hey, if no one's using that chain, why the hell, like, does that make any sense whatsoever? And a lot of these other tokens that are even on the chain, or on like ERC-20 tokens and things like that, the same analysis is going on, is saying if it's not a meme coin, which we'll see, it's pump and dump. What's this business doing? So it's nice to see that things are evolving. You've been getting the Kanpai. Is it Kanpai or Kanpai?
Whatever you want.
All right. I'm gonna go Kanpai, but the Kanpai Pandas logo is getting everywhere. And what's clear is you're building out this media brand. When you started, was that just the whole goal, is build a media brand, or is there like, no?
No, just totally evolved into it, right? Like it was like, and I've been building businesses for 20 years, right? And you have to be nimble as a founder, as an owner, whether it's Web 2, Web 3, whatever. And you've got to say, okay, I see an opportunity in this market, and I'm going to take it. And if you get traction, then you keep pushing. And if you don't get traction, you kind of, you know, change directions a little bit. I mean, I've been here and done that. So that's kind of what we did, is we said, okay, well, we've had some success here in the MMA space. Why don't we try this? And then the show took off, and it's like, all right, now we need to keep pushing down this path because we've had success, and we'll continue pushing down this path until we start to see less success, right? And then we'll start to branch out into other things. But like, we're about to launch Overdogs Espanol with Yoel Romero and potentially Ilya Topuria as full-time hosts on that. That's going to be huge for the Latin market, right? Because those are two of the biggest names in combat sports, and we're going to have a regular show. I plan to have four or five different shows Mike Perry and I are working on another one as well, where like we'll get MMA fighters to roll with celebrities, like jiu-jitsu roll for like 2 minutes, and then kind of make a show out of that, which would be fun. So I plan to have 4 to 5 shows by the end of Q1. But then if you look at like utility for the holder side, I mean, we have so much shit going on. Just right now we partner with Karate Combat. In that prize pool right now, because we do like a fantasy league with them for our holders, in that prize pool alone, there's still over $1 million in karate token. Like last month, I think the top winner won like $45,000 in karate token, right? So we've got that. We've got NFL fantasy football going on for 2 Super Bowl tickets. We've got Champions League soccer going on for 2 Champion League's finals tickets. We've got NBA going on right there for NBA finals tickets. And then we're running a poker circuit where the guys get together twice a week and play poker for an extended period. And we're giving a WSOP main event seat away. So we've always got something going on for the community. And I think it's hyper important that you keep the community engaged. And I mean, you know, just in one contest, we've given back more to holders than anybody on the planet with the Karate Combat. It was like something like $1.3 million in total.
You guys own a suite at Allegiant, right?
We do, yeah.
Is that correct?
So I thought so. We have access to all the football games, the concerts, et cetera.
Wow. The Spanish language podcast with you all, Romero and Topuria, is awesome because you got the rising star in Topuria and the legend in Romero. And there's a real appetite for Spanish language MMA stuff because South America just the Spanish speaking audience just loves MMA. Are you guys making significant money off of the podcast yet? Like revenue?
It's not bad. It's not what I'd like it to be. But we've also got another product rolling out in probably end of Q1 of next year that we'll be using as kind of like the advertiser for the podcast. That's going to make us a hell of a lot more money than like steak would.
Well, I mean, that's awesome. That's incredible. Easier, Nick. Did you have a follow up question?
No.
It looked like you. Oh, my bad. I'm tripping. I mean, look, man. All this stuff is pretty damn juicy. It's like really exciting. You have your announcement tomorrow. I guess on the NFT side, just like last question, I don't know if the announcement tomorrow is more of like an NFT announcement or a non-NFT announcement. But like, do you see yourself having to put a major focus on the kind of crypto side of the business? Because the crypto side of the business, in my opinion, as someone that's been running a crypto business for 2 years at this point, is one of the hardest things. Because like you pointed out before, people didn't want products, blah, blah, blah. I see Gainsy over here responding to you. He's a big name on the crypto side. But like, for example, we built an entire platform. And really, when you kind of think about it, because it didn't have like a press this button and get money or have like a, you know, you can gamble on this platform. It wasn't like, you know, this viral hit the way like a Blur or like a FriendTech was, right? And now just having like kind of a grassroots community movement has been incredible. And we're excited about, you know, different crypto companies like Karate Combat. Obviously, we were going to go out there this week, but we ended up, just having too much stuff to do. Would have been cool to hang out with you out there. But how much focus do you put on like the sort of crypto side of the business? Like, is there going to be like some sort of evolution of the NFTs or something like that? Or is that just not that important compared to some of the other business stuff that you're doing?
Well, it very much is, but it's definitely a mix, right? Like if I guess the phrase Web 2.5 is used a lot, but we're very much so Web 2.5, right? Like we've got a mix of both. But yeah, the announcement tomorrow, I'll just say, is an acquisition.
Web 3 side.
So that'll be very much crypto related. And then we're going to be building out a product in either Q1 or Q2 that we'll be launching on Solana. I've got a call with Tensor here in about an hour and a half. But we're going to be launching a Web3 product on Solana as well. We got so much shit going on, man, between Web 2 and Web 3. But yeah, crypto is definitely going to be a major focus for us, you know, in the next year for sure.
Yo, we're excited to announce that we just got acquired.
Let's go.
Overdogs meets Bodagos. Love to see it. Wow. So an
that's a billion sound, Nick.
Dude, that's out.
I'll have 41 left.
But it feels like a great start for my career. So I'll take it.
Well, can't wait to see who you guys acquire, or if you get acquired. I mean, who knows? But that, I'm assuming it's an acquisition that you guys are acquiring. Anything else you want to like let people know? Like, so you're going to be at Karate Combat this week, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So we've got, so we throw a annual party called Pandemonium, and all pandas get in for free. So we've got Karate Combat on Friday night. We had like, I think they gave us like 100 tickets to that. So we've got Karate Combat on Friday night, which is going to be a dope one. You got Pettis and Benson going at it again for the third time. And then there's UFC, massive UFC card on Saturday night.
Yeah, huge card.
Completely stacked. We've got a bar rented out, the Cosmo, for all of our holders to do like a watch party there. They're gonna play the UFC fights for those that don't want to go. And then we rented out Dre's After Hours, and we're throwing our Pandemonium event there. We'll have a bunch of UFC fighters in there, all of our holders in there. It'll be a great time.
Well, that sounds like a jam. pissed that we can't make it. That would have been a lot of fun. Ladies and gentlemen, Can't Buy Pandas.
Maybe we can, P.O. I don't know.
All you have to do is book a fucking ticket. Let's go.
The people at Karate Combat.
That's not canceled yet. So, yeah.
The guys at Karate Combat would be like, what's your problem, guys? You're going to come. You can't come. Now you're going to come again. anyway, ladies and gentlemen, check out Can't Buy Pandas. Sounds like there's a big announcement tomorrow. That's at Can't Buy Pandas on Twitter. Overdogs Podcast, the literal smash it. Usually when I say smash it on the show, I'm like saying it tongue in cheek because not that many crypto things are actually a smash hit. But this is like literally a smash hit podcast in the MMA world. It's at Overdogs Podcast. Obviously, if you're an MMA fan, that would be a good place to check out. Icebags Twitter handle is at icebags_. We love having thought leaders in the NFT space on the show. Icebags has been going at it for a while. Thanks for joining the show today, amigo. And, have a great time in Vegas. Wish we could be there.
Yep. I wish you could too, man. If you can come out last minute, come on. Karate Combat would be happy to have you guys there fucking filming. And then you can come party with us after. But also check out at Overdogs Bet.
Overdogs Met going the gambling. I mean, look, that is very smart in the NFT space. Absolutely. Nick?
Not on the Overdog side of things, or Kanpai Pandas. I was saying on the Karate Combat side of things, if you're not on the email list, we just gave out like a couple $100,000 of karate yesterday. We're going to send another email out today. If you haven't been on the list before, you're not suddenly getting the token or the code today. But sign up and you'll be part of whatever the next drop is at thenifty.com. So if you're not on that, we're definitely, look, we actually wish we were out there. Maybe there's a chance. I don't know. But
he wants to go so bad right now.
We'll have to see. Icebags, thanks so much for joining, man. Always a good time to have you here. Last time you projected that Ilya Topuria would be the champion. Your guy, he's sponsored by you, right?
Correct. Yeah. He will be the champion. He will beat Volkanovski in February. Decisively.
That is a good get, man. You said it was going to happen this year. So close. February, that is going to be a fight and a half. That's going to be wild. Thanks so much for joining, man. Catch you next time.
Of course. Appreciate you guys.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our show. One quick shout out to our partners for today's show, Crypto Moments. So that's CryptoMoments.com. We had the co-founder Seesaw on the show yesterday. It's in our collection documenting the 25 most influential and important moments in crypto and NFT history by four very talented artists. So you can go to CryptoMoments.com. Some of the mechanics in the drop, the bucket auction, the burn mechanic, the leaderboard are really cool. I mean, it does seem like these guys know how to structure a drop, and they've been working on it for over a year throughout the bear market. The co-founder has 35 Bodagos. We absolutely love to see that. You see some of the most iconic crypto moments, hence the name, detailed in the drop. Really cool stuff. The co-founder started Bitcoin ATMs like 10 years ago. He bought Bitcoin in like 2012, 2013. Love to see it. Anyway, we love partnering with crypto native brands that are doing cool stuff in the space. It was awesome to have Icebags on the show for an interview today. We will be back tomorrow. Thank you so much.